Welcome to the Scrum.org Community Podcast, a podcast from the home of Scrum. In this podcast, we feature professional Scrum trainers and other Scrum practitioners sharing their stories and experiences to help learn from the experience of others. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, welcome to the Scrum.org Community Podcast. I'm Patricia Kong and will be your guest host today. With me, we have Ravi Verma, a professional Scrum trainer from Texas. And also from the Texas area, we have Jeremy Thomas, Chris Cole, and Brittany Snyder from the Agile for Patriots program. I've really been looking forward to our conversation today.
I want to take a chance, though, and say thank you for your service and support for our country. That's amazing. And I'm almost a little nervous to have this conversation because there's so many meaningful things in there. So we have this short time. And Ravi, I want to dive right in, actually, not into Scrum and Nexus, what we're going to talk about, but into the Agile for Patriots program that has been near and dear to your heart. So could you tell everybody a little bit more about this program and why you started it and what it means and what it looks like? I know the people that we're going to talk to are part of a cohort that you just ran this year.
Yeah. So Agile for Patriots is a program I co-founded with a friend of mine, Greg Gomel. Our vision is to eliminate job insecurity for U.S. military veterans and spouses who choose to pursue a career in agile delivery. So that's why we exist. Why did we create it? We are so grateful to military families. They sacrifice so much so that the rest of us can be free. We can feel safe. And I felt bad that they are sacrificing so much when they are in the service. And then when they come back in the civilian space, I felt I was not doing my part in expressing my gratitude to them. And so the best way that I know how to express my gratitude is to teach. So that's why we created Agile for Patriots. And the way in which we try to realize our vision is by providing Scrum.org training. And Scrum.org has been our partner, and you have helped us every step of the way. So Scrum.org offers scholarships for training and certifications. We help our applicants attend the training, get free training, free certification. Then we put them through like a boot camp or a laboratory, which is basically Scrum.org applying professional Scrum workshop on steroids. So there is an 11-day program where they will do three-day sprints. And through the application of Scrum, they build a very simple software increment, they'll deliver it. And then they use that increment as a way to earn credibility with their future interviewers and hiring managers to demonstrate that not only do they understand the theory of Scrum, but they have applied it and delivered a real-world increment. So in a nutshell, that's what the program is.
Thank you. Yeah. I saw on there's a website also, right? Agileforpatriots.org. And it says creating agile opportunities for America's patriots. So that's really apt. And that's a great way to give back, which I know you've been doing throughout your career. So can you paint us a little bit of a picture? Because this is the first time that I've really heard about this in such scale. Well, so you say it like that, right? So usually you're teaching a cohort about Scrum, letting them know what that collaboration feels like. And then all of a sudden you're knocking on the door and saying, hey, Trish, look, this is about Nexus now. And for those who don't know what Nexus is, so Scrum, we're focused on one product. Nexus is also, so we have multiple teams working to build one product. How did that happen so suddenly in like a short class? And then I'm going to be ready to jump in to talk to you, Jeremy, about what your experience was, but paint that, Ravi. How did you go from usually 5 to 10 people to, you know, 5 to 10 teams or whatever you had there?
Yeah. So we had a sudden like hockey stick curve almost. So until cohort eight, our typical cohort size was about 10 people. Then we had two people who are like social media influencers who attended cohort eight. One, the biggest reason why we had experienced the growth was a military service member called Jay Salters, who has like, I don't know, 80,000 followers. So he graduated from cohort eight and he started sharing about AFP. So we got more than 100 applications in cohort nine. And then we had another graduate from Cohort 8, George Morris, who started doing social media. So because of the contributions of Jay and George, we got a lot of people. So I did two APS classes. We had 34 people who attended APS. Now, usually there's a drop-off after APS to practicum. So I was in suspense after finishing both the APS to say how many people are going to actually carry through. And then when all of the confirmations came in, I had an oh crap moment, like, oh my God, 17 people. And it was also, oh my God, wow, we can make an impact to 17 lives. But then it was like, now how do we make it work? And that's where I said, we need Nexus. And I hadn't planned for any of this because I wasn't expecting it. So anyway, that's how we went from about 10 people to 17 people and why we suddenly needed Nexus.
I'm sure that you must have made a decision between Nexus and some of the other programs, scaling programs that you've tried in your past lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I have had the blessing of being trained on the three frameworks by the people who created it. So I learned Scale Professional Scrum from Ken Schwaber. I learned SAFe from Dean Leffingwell, and I learned LESS from Craig Larman. So I got it from the horse's mouth in all three cases. And there's a reason why after going through all three, I still believe in Nexus because of its simplicity and the fact that if you understand single team Scrum, it is so minimalist that the things that are added on are so little. My lived experience has shown me that if people understand single team Scrum, they look at Nexus and they're like, yeah, what's this? What's that? And they just get it. So that is the reason I chose Nexus, because I thought the framework will not be a distraction to achieving the mission. The mission is delivering value. The framework must be an enabler, and it cannot become a problem in itself. And that's why I chose Nexus.
Excellent. So that brings me, when you're talking about simplicity, and I was recapping the experience that y'all had shared. It didn't seem that simple, Jeremy, when I was reading kind of how you were thrown into the experience. So Jeremy Thomas, I understand that in this experience, you were Nexus Scrum Master, or the Scrum Master on the Nexus integration team. So very focused on making sure that things were coming together and really, really from bottom up serving the whole Nexus, all these 17 people. However, what I'm assuming and what I understand is that you didn't know anything about what Nexus meant. So what was that experience? You come in for a training. So you've learned some stuff, and now they said, okay, let's apply. What happened then, and what was your approach?
Thank you for the question. First thing that should be said is Ravi challenged us. Anyone that wasn't a development team had to interview extensively, and that required homework. So to get the opportunity to serve as a Scrum Master, a product owner, or what I ended up becoming was very challenging, and it had me dig deep and want it. And so when on Friday, day one of 11, when we found out what the roles were, and it was just a half day. And then he said, oh, by the way, here's the keys to Agile for Patriots Zoom. And then by the way, we're going to be applying the Nexus, and you need to learn that. And also we're going to use this thing called Jira, Confluence, and WordPress. Good luck. See you, at this first Nexus sprint review. And I'm like, didn't know what a Nexus sprint review was. So I said, okay. That whole weekend, obviously, was I read the Nexus guide, and I understood that I had some accountabilities and I had to apply some new events or some expanded events, if you will, and I had to understand the time boxes for those and how they complemented Scrum. And I knew that I had to teach and do what a Scrum Master does, which is ensure that that everybody was well aware of the new framework that we were applying in addition to what we learned, but also keep the team aware of the times and the new time boxes and the proper estimating for those in the battle rhythm, if you will. I also had to figure out how to not end calls with 17 people across the globe in Zoom, because I'd never been a Zoom host. So it was very fun. And it was, what was great was I told Ravi this, you threw me in the ocean without a paddle, as so I thought. But by about Wednesday, myself and the other Scrum Masters, we had all the training we needed, and he had prepared us well. And all we had to do was support each other.
Right. So you're a program manager, and or you've got program management background. What do you think this would look like at work in the real world? Do you think it would work the same? Could you see this working in some of the teams that you've worked with?
So in my 3 weeks of retirement and working in the real world, if you will, what I've realized is real world is people are taken from different frameworks. They're taken and they're kind of making it work for them, which you got to be flexible and you got to be agile to what your team needs. And so that's what I've seen currently is different. People are kind of picking and choosing a little bit. The certification path through this organization is impressive and not easy. And that's why I'm proud to be, you know, certified through this this program. But I think to answer your question, it's very well received, but you got to not be too rigid to where you're not creating value.
Right, right. What I hope, and I'm sure what Ravi hopes is that you have that foundation, right? And so you have that capability to, you know, if we veer off path, we kind of know what needs to come back. And especially having that accountability when you're in the Nexus integration team and you're the Scrum Master there is really having that global view to try to bring people together. So that's a really good point. Now I want to get into, it's not so simple. I want to get into somebody who was in one of the teams. So Chris Cole, thank you for being here. So you were a Scrum Master in the team. What did that look like for you? What did it mean where you're just like all of a sudden you're a Scrum Master and you are using this thing that's not called Scrum. That's what you thought you came to learn. And you're trying to work with people, but you're trying not to tell them what to do. What did that feel like?
Sure. Thank you for your question, Patricia. First, I think it's funny to mention hearing it from Ravi for the first time. It's definitely interesting to see where he was coming from, where, oh my gosh, we have all these applicants. What are we going to do? And that's kind of how he came to the decision of Nexus. Because like Jeremy mentioned, for us, it felt like Friday morning, hey, guess what? Let's do a Nexus, see you Monday. As Jeremy said, we had a lot of homework with that. We had to learn what Nexus was, but I think he also mentioned that it felt like we were thrown into the ocean, but really at the end of the day, we had more training than we thought because Nexus is so simple. And I really think that's the beauty of it. I think for me as a Scrum Master on one of the teams, first, the difficulty was that it was foreign to us. And yes, it was simpler after learning it. It was simpler than we thought, but it was unfamiliar at the time. So it was daunting. Second, we were all strangers, 17 of us. None of us knew each other. We were all virtual. A lot of the team had never even heard what Scrum was before starting. It's also funny that Ravi mentioned Jay Salters was in cohort 8. That's how I found out about the AFP program, actually, was through the Act Now education program. So I'm very grateful to both organizations for that. But specifically as a Scrum Master on one of the Nexus teams or within the Nexus framework, it felt like a developer at first. I didn't know what to do up front with Jeremy being the Scrum Master and we had our product owner. My initial reaction was, this is kind of weird. I feel like a developer. And I think that was my initial struggle specifically as a Scrum Master, was figuring out how I could help the team. We already have a Scrum Master in the Nexus. So how can I be a Scrum Master on a team? And what I found quickly was, most importantly, I had a great team and I had to enable self-management. My team was able to accomplish a lot, and it was actually better to kind of step back, ask some open-ended questions, and provide a platform for them to work, because we had an incredible team. After that, enabling self-management, I'd say the second thing was conflict resolution, because we were 17 strangers across the globe. And the fact that we were all had a vested interest in the success of the product. As Robbie mentioned, we built a website to showcase ourselves for jobs. So we were all not only building this, but we were also the customer itself, which was very unique. So we're learning Nexus. We're a customer of our own product. We don't know each other. I think those were the big struggle points for us. And I think that enabling self-management and then conflict resolution were the two keys that I learned from this experience. Again, getting back to Nexus is very simple. It builds on Scrum very, very minimalistically. And I think that enabled success for our team.
Excellent. For those who can't, so for those who can't see, we're recording this over Zoom, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but Ravi Verma is just holding his belly and laughing at these stories. I don't know if it's because he thinks it's so great, or it's just so fun that he threw people into the water and they learned how to swim. But Chris, thank you for sharing that. What I understand about you, at least from your profile, is that you think about product and a lot around product strategy and risk. So when you look at a framework like Nexus or even Scrum, and you're talking about things like self-management, self-organization, did you see the ways that this was helping you mitigate some of the risk, or was, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like when we throw around words like self-management or empower, self-organization, it sounds like we have a magic wand and we go, you got it. Well, what did it look like when you were actually in person? Because it's, you know, even when you're talking about, we want the best product for ourselves, but when you have separate teams, everybody wants to win sometimes. So how do you make sure that we're all winning? What does that look like?
Absolutely. I actually have a great example of that one. So one thing I noticed when using the wand to enable self-management of my team was, they wanted to do everything, and they wanted it to be done fast. And they were excited to see the product they were going to build for themselves and how it's going to help them grow. And that in particular started to cause conflict. There were conflicts between a couple of our teams because one team was building the homepage and another team was building a second page. And then it was like, well, why are you building the homepage of our website when that's our job? So I guess where the conflict management came into play, it was a balance of self-management and reducing cross-team dependencies. And I think that was the risk of being like, go conquer the world, was that it created some conflict. And that's really where I saw the value in being a Scrum Master on a team, was working with the other Scrum Masters to deconflict. And then during backlog refinement, making sure that we were reducing cross-team dependencies to the best of our ability. I think that's how we were able to mitigate risk to create our product at the end of the day.
Cool. And imagine that happens in these large companies. And what it makes me think about, especially, so when I think about teams and crossing dependencies, I think about not only the notion of conflict, but how much that costs. And so when people are getting petty or into these little things, it's just ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching out the door. So it's nice to have that foundation. So speaking of magic wands, I have somebody who is a self-proclaimed Scrum Master magician. So Brittany Snyder, my understanding is that you were also a Scrum Master in the Nexus, working with this group. What was it like for you? What was challenging, but what also wasn't challenging? I'd love to hear about things that were just easy.
Thank you, Patricia, for that intro. That was great. personally, on my team, I share similar sentiments as Chris, right? He kind of hit everything on the head in terms of 17 strangers, how we were coming together as a large group on the Nexus team, but then also we were separating into our own individual teams. So for me, the most challenging part of all of this was kind of creating and then maintaining the cross-team collaboration across each team, right? Because we're working towards the same product. So that was probably the most challenging thing. And then on our own individual teams, I think we all did a great job at initiating and establishing that connection and kind of relaying what Jeremy did as the Nexus Scrum Master, all of his lessons and teachings, and kind of relaying that to our team to ensure that they felt supported and confident in what we were producing. But having to kind of take the conversations that we were having on our smaller scale team and kind of bringing that to the larger group was challenging and had a lot of its own, you know, disagreements and things that we had to work through, which Chris kind of highlighted with, you know, conflict resolution and ensuring that we were efficient with what we were doing and the time that we had. In a way that it kind of helped us grow closer as the 17 individual people. But I would say that was probably the most challenging thing for me personally. But also things that were great, you know, through the challenges, we were able to establish such a great connection at the end. We were able to kind of understand each other's demeanor and temperaments on the 17 individuals working together and kind of creating the product that we ended up releasing.
Oh, that's excellent. So Brittany, I'm wondering for you, because this is an experience that you've all taken to advance your careers or to add some color to your careers professionally. What have you pulled from this experience that you think has helped you in your job?
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to say everything, honestly, truly everything. I get so emotional in a good way, just thinking about the experience and sitting here with Jeremy and Chris today and Ravi. The whole experience is near and dear to my heart, and learning, right, as Chris mentioned, just kind of learning, having insight on what Scrum is, but how I've been able to utilize that in my current job as a Scrum Master is kind of implementing things that we already did, right? Kind of implementing the human connection, the icebreakers, being inclusive and establishing that first, which is really important to me as an individual. And I think something that we really needed to kind of push us through to the end of that project. But honestly, everything, just kind of being able to work with so many different people all across the globe, I think was a huge advantage because it allows me to kind of have the ability to work through diversity and understand, you know, different kinds of people and how they're all working, especially when you're in a setting with, you know, developers from all over the world. At my current job, we do have, you know, individuals from India and Brazil. So having that ability to kind of collaborate and work together seamlessly, I learned that through this experience.
Well done. What a win. There's a sentiment actually that I we're kind of running short on time, but that I want to pull through that the three of you have been mentioning. And so, Jeremy, before we started, I said, "What a story!" And you said, "Oh, story! It really feels like a family." And can you elaborate on that, Jeremy? Like what this experience has been like? Because it's short, right? And I'm wondering what that means for you also as someone who is participating in Agile for Patriots, because the thing that I hear, so the similarities of family is that in the Agile industry, and you guys have been saying things that it takes us years to kind of get into the skulls of other people, but for y'all it's been so quick. And I'm just wondering, when you talk about family, or why when I talk to people about military people learning about Agile, they just say they're excellent. They just get it. It's just natural. What is this?
That's a great question. And, you know, I started reflecting on my experiences. In the military, we don't have an option to not play well with each other. We need everyone. You know, the sum of the individuals is far less than the sum of the whole. And we know that. And whether you're military, you know, veteran or a military spouse, you lock arms and you march forward. And so we were quickly able to get to conquer any challenge. It didn't matter whether it was, you know, passive aggressive behavior, technology. I mean, we went and learned it. We went and talked about it. We went into the vulnerable. We went there quickly, and we didn't let poison stop us and prevent, because we knew we had to go. We had to get it done. And I think our experiences, our life experiences, well prepare us. I know it for me, but you know, it's like, you know, you go downrange, you only have the person left or right. And that's the way. And, you know, even for like our spouses, when they're left, they're the only parent. They're it. They're mom, dad, whatever's there. And, you know, my wife will be the first one to tell you it's hard, but there's no way to say you can't do it. You just have to do it. And so I think that's how we were quickly able to put everything in and be successful, because there's no other alternative.
Drives that focus. Chris, do you have anything to add? I know also that this experience has been a success for all of you, I would say, because you're in the next phase of your careers in the civilian life in an agile space. So I'm wondering if you have anything to add on to the experience or to what Jeremy just mentioned.
Nothing in particular to add. I couldn't reinforce it enough, though. I actually didn't even really think about it that way until Jeremy just started talking about it a minute ago. It's a learning curve for us coming out of the military to adapt and begin to not just take orders or give orders and encourage creativity and collaboration versus do it because I'm your boss or they told me to do it, so I'll do it. And I think it just goes to show the flexibility of agile. It goes to show how much more you can accomplish in that sort of setting. I definitely reinforce what Jeremy's saying in that regard.
All right. Yeah. And for our militaries, for us, for Brittany, ultimate servant leadership, right? Well, what does that mean for you? Anything to add there from your perspective?
Absolutely. They're speaking. I'm just thinking about the word resiliency, right? And I think, kind of as your question before, that's something that I've kind of had to lean on. And I think this is especially important for, you know, our service members. We're always relying on resiliency, and especially as a military spouse as well, right? You're the researcher. You're embodying what it is, I guess, metaphorically as a scrum master, right? Even as a military spouse, to implement those values as you're supporting your partner, whether they're deployed or not. But really the resiliency and the tact, you know, to keep going and to figure it out. And that's kind of essentially what we all did. And, you know, just kind of hearing everyone's answers and stepping back. And I'm kind of presently in that situation, and I'm working as a scrum master, thankfully. But I've been really using the resiliency and the tact that I think comes with this you know, position as a spouse, but I know especially Chris and Jeremy can relate, and other service members as well.
Well, thank you. I've never felt the scrum values exhibited as much as I just had in this conversation. So this was really beautiful. And again, thank you, Ravi, for bringing this to light. So Ravi, again, agileforpatriots.org, anything that you want to share about this cohort and for future cohorts, what they might expect?
Yeah, I think this cohort has been one of my most fulfilling. I learned so much from them, and I learned more from them than they learned from me. I think what I would like our listeners to take away from this is U.S. military families, the level of talent that is available. If you are not tapping into that talent, you are missing out on a competitive advantage, because if there is one group of people that life has trained through adversity, that no matter what life throws at you, you gotta just deal with it. It's US military families. So, and that's the skill we need people on Scrum teams to possess. Okay, fine. Something happened. Not ideal. How are we going to deal with it? So I think that's a closing thought. And for cohort 10, we are preparing. But if you are listening to this podcast and if you're considering, is this a good fit for me? If you can demonstrate the values that Jeremy and Chris and Brittany demonstrated in this conversation, we got a spot waiting for you. Create more problems. I would love to have to create Nexus Plus for a future cohort. Those are my thoughts.
Save so that for the next podcast. So, of course, and Jeremy, Brittany, and Chris, you were part of 17. So we're going to thank all of those people that were in that Nexus. And of course, Ravi, and that's it for us today. So thank you for listening. Thank you again, all of you, and Scrum on.
Thank you.